welcome to Vacation Station, hosted by Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazines.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Big Blend Radio's second Friday food, wine, and travel show with the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association. We love our second Fridays and our second Tuesdays because we get to interview members of the association, travel writers, destinations, sometimes wineries. You never know who's on the show, and it's always exciting. So check out the website. It's ifwtwa.org, a really good organization for those in the travel writing, wine writing, food, wine writing industry. But today we welcome back Linda Milk. She's a travel writer, and I think she's also on the board of what we say is IFTWA instead of the whole name, International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association. But she just came back from an awesome trip through the Olympic Peninsula and Seattle up in Washington. And I encourage you to follow her website because she goes all over the place. She's always got a glass of wine in her hand when it's appropriate, I should say. Her website is toastingwinefoodtravel.com. And her article about the Olympic Peninsula and Seattle is up on nationalparktraveling.com. And for more about those areas, like I know you're all writing down the websites, go to olympicpeninsula.org and visit seattle.org. So welcome back, Linda. How are you?
I'm great.
Good. You are on the board, right, of IFTWA?
Yeah, I am. I'm the treasurer.
Oh, we better behave.
Oh, you get sacked.
No, listen, we'll send you lots of wine. Okay. But it's true. Every time I see a post of you on social media, I'm like, there she's at. There she's tasting. She's toasting. She's having a good time. But as I said, appropriately, you know. But it looks like, speaking of that, your trip to the Olympic Peninsula, I know you went to the National Park, which is something Nancy and I's on our list, you know, as we travel full time to document parks and public lands. But it looks like you started your visit with cider and wine.
Yeah, we did. Wasn't that a good way to begin?
I think so. Especially, you know, when you Why travel, not? The first thing you want to do is just a libation to kind of chill you out.
Yes. We went to Finn River Cidery up in the Olympic Peninsula and met the sommelier. I didn't even know they had sommeliers for cider, but
I didn't know
he is, and he makes wonderful blends. Some of them very unusual.
You said blend, so we like
that. We like it.
Yes.
So this is cider. So, you know, because you think of, you know, Washington State, our first thing is coffee and of course wine. So the wine, that was another highlight for you.
Yes, we went to two different wineries, Harbinger and Camaraderie Cellars. Camaraderie Cellars, we met Vicky, who is a co-owner with her husband. They've been open for 25 years.
Wow.
Beautiful fireplace inside, and especially, I don't know, I'm sure all time during the year, but beautiful landscaping outside where you can sit and sip wine too.
Nice. Very I nice. Like oh, yeah. And what time of year did you go? End of summer, right?
We went fall. We were there in October.
Oh, okay. So you're seeing the whole change of, you know, but then it's like, do they get fall colors?
Lots. Beautiful. In the outdoor garden there at Camaraderie Cellars, they have a lot of deciduous trees and they were bright reds. It was beautiful.
Oh, nice. That's right. I have seen that in the Pacific Northwest that they have that. And then, but then it's like, it's interesting because the Olympic National Park where you went, that also had, you know, you've got a rainforest that we have in this country, which you don't really hear that much about.
Yes, it's the, I think it's the, at least, it's definitely, I think it's the only one or one of the only ones in the United States that is a temperate rainforest. And it is so lush and full of ferns and firs and hemlocks, all kinds of, and sitka trees, all kinds.
Wow.
Beautiful. Cool.
So you did a lot of hiking and walking. What were the hikes like, you know, for those listening in? I always talk about national parks. There are easy hikes and there's also accessible trails in most national park units and even parks across the country. So you don't have to be the avid backpacker, but I know you saw waterfalls and just amazing places. Did you like really have to, you know, gear up for that.
We are not big hikers. I went with another woman, Deborah Dunning Borlette.
She's awesome, another travel writer.
Yes, and we had a great time together. Neither one of us are huge hikers. So these hikes were like 1.7, 1.8 miles. They weren't straight up a mountain at all. Nice cleared paths. And yet we were able to get into that dense Ho rainforest. In particular, it's called the Hall of Mosses. Just loved, because you see all kinds of lichen and mushrooms and the stream that had kind of a Kelly green water running through it. It wasn't the water. The water was crystal clear, but it had so much lichen and moss on the bottom that it looked green. It was beautiful.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah. Sounds like your kind of thing, Nancy, with Jurassic Park.
Dinosaurs.
Yeah, a little bit of, would you imagine dinosaurs in there, or would it be more like King Arthur and like, you know, that kind of forest?
I think dinosaurs. There were a lot of toppled trees with these gnarly roots sticking out, which was really fascinating too. When we went through that Hall of Mosses, we just moved so slowly because every turn and every look we took, there was something we wanted to photograph, and it was just everywhere.
That's how we should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're slow. And then we stop and have wine, but don't tell the park rangers. But there's so much to see in these, you know, protected spaces, and they've been protected for so long. Olympic National Park is really, been protected for a while. And so you're looking at old growth a lot of time. These forests are old growth that you don't see that often unless it's in that kind of protected place.
Oh, there was one tree that had a hollowed out kind of base area. Mm-hmm. And Deborah and I took turns crawling inside so we could take photos of us inside this tree.
Cool.
So there, it was a big tree.
She's got a place to hide from the dinosaurs.
That's it. You've got to scope those out, you know?
So I know we have this photo of the beach behind us, but it's so rocky and dramatic. And so is that also part of Olympic National Park?
It is. It is. You drive to it. As you come around the corner, all of a sudden you see that view. It's just magical because the water is churning so rough because I guess because of the rocks, and there's foam flying all over in the air. It's more of a rocky beach. It's not a sand type beach. Mm. And with those great big rocks popping out of the ocean, it was very, very pretty.
Yeah, and everyone, again, especially if you're listening, instead of watching, go to nationalparktraveling.com, type in Linda Milks. You might see some of her other articles, but look at her photos. And of course, the full story is there and links to the destinations. But your photography on this is just amazing. I mean, it must have been, did you come back with like, here's an external hard drive of where I was? Because you've got beautiful photos. I want people to go see them so they can see what you're talking about with, you know, the forest, and then, you know, these I love the Pacific Northwest. It's got drama.
Mm-hmm. It does. It's like, I entitled my article Sense of Place, and it really is. I lived in Oregon for about 30 years, so I have a really strong connection to it. And my grandmother lived in Seattle, so I know the Pacific Northwest, and I love it. It's just, you feel like you're a little teeny dwarf in this giant forest and mountains. Everything is big and grand.
Mm. It is. It's humbling, you know, going into these places. You get a sense of humility of how powerful Mother Nature is, and yet so quaint. You know, when you look at moss, for example, and ferns, you just see the tiniest little things. You're like, how can you be this grand? And then here's this magical little mushroom with these amazing little gills. And I mean, it's just that web of life it's awe-inspiring. It really is.
It is. It's right in your face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's different too, going from the beach. I know you're in Southern California and the wonderful world of Temecula wine country in that region. So that's kind of a different vibe, even for the wineries. Was it different being at a winery in the Pacific Northwest than being in a winery in the Southern California area?
Yeah, it definitely was. Even like the cidery was an old dairy farm that they have made into, there's a pizza place, and you sit inside, I think what might have been the dairy area that they've opened up for a tasting room. And then you see the orchards, apple orchards everywhere in the Northwest.
Wow.
And then as far as the wine, it's just, it's more rural and more spread out. Harbinger is in an old, I think it's a truck storage building that they have redone into a winery.
Oh, cool. Neat. That's it's so neat when you see, I think a lot of wineries reuse something, you know, whether it's going to be, you know, it was an old gas station or old barn or something, you know, which I love about that because it's the word regenerative. I think that's one of our new words of 2022, right?
Yeah.
Is it's like reuse, don't, you know, and have a new life to it, you know?
I agree. Some of
those old buildings have a charm and personality that, you know, you don't always get in brand new.
Right.
Because they haven't had time to build character, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
So we need to protect those.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that sense of place, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So let's talk about your lodgings, because you really talk about lodging. You stayed in two lodges.
We stayed in two lodges that were in the Olympic National Park. And they were they're kind of different. The two were. The first one was Lake Crescent Lodge, and it is, three of the rooms were the original rooms built in, I think, the beginning of the 1900s from the original forest wood they used to build these, and they actually were cabins more than like a hotel lodge type place, and very comfortable, but very basic wood floors with rugs on the floor. A nice warm shower, so that part was good.
Yeah.
And comfortable bed, but very basic. And then when we stayed at the Lake Quinault Lodge, it was more, and it could have been the area we stayed in, but the room was huge. King size bed, it had a TV, fireplace, even heated bathroom floors. So unique. Ooh. Both of them have beautiful lodges, the original lodges where you could go and have a glass of wine, sit in front of this massive fireplace with leather chairs.
There we go.
Yeah.
These lodges are iconic to the national park system too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of people travel for that. They were the original, you know, you're out in the wilderness, but here's some luxury. And it's kind of that you're still connected if you don't want to go camping, you know,
right.
But there's camping too in these parks.
Definitely. And both of them have views of gorgeous lakes, which is what Lake Quinault and Crescent Lake, they're named after the lake. And you, from your room, as soon as you walk out the door, in one of them, well, Crescent Lake, you have to walk outside the door, but you see that gorgeous lake. And Lake Quinault, we were on the second floor, so we could see the lake from our room even. And just beautiful,
nice.
You saw the fog in the morning and majestic mountains in the background behind that lake.
Oh, man. I want to go.
I know.
Maybe we will. Maybe
go
when we're
list.
Going west, Nick, in a few months here. Yeah, a month and a bit, maybe. We'll have to do a detour, Nancy. We're not, you know... kind of happens.
That's kind of our middle name.
Detour. Yeah. It's like, oops, we're going here. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Why not? There's a road there, you know, but I love these views and I love that you went there. And then you had the complete opposite experience of going into the city, you know? So where did you stay in Seattle?
We stayed at the Sorrento Hotel, which was a smaller boutique hotel, but older too.
Nice.
It was built, I believe, in the early 1900s also, and obviously renovated. Our room was plush. We had a big bedroom, and then we had a separate lounge studio area out in front of our bedroom. And the hotel itself, when you walk in, you see beautiful mahogany wood in the entry, and it has a separate lounge that was always there, lobby lounge, that is also just this dark mahogany rich looking room, open room where people can sit and enjoy themselves.
That is nice. And Seattle too, I mean, because you think of you, that's not that it's cool to be able to be in an historic boutique hotel.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And when you think about going in the city, and we've always been on the outskirts of Seattle, so we haven't done that, you know, that experience. What is it like walking around? Is it very, you know, slick kind of city, or does it keep its history? When you talk about sense of place, does it still have that feel of what it was like in its beginnings?
I think it does. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of a mix. Seattle started with more like miners and fishermen and prostitutes. It had a big history it was a rough city, really, kind of. And people were on their way to Alaska to look for gold, and then they would get their supplies.
Harbor cities always have had that really colorful history, and that's why we want to go. We want those stories. And they have the best ghosts, too.
There's an underground that we didn't do this trip. I have done that a long time ago, and I think that's something that would be really worthwhile, because you really get that sense of history. But Pike Place Market also is right on the water, and you get that, again, that feeling of the roots that built this city, even though it's a very sophisticated city now.
So it's kind of got that, you know, the Pike Market, from what I've heard, it seems like it's actually part of the community. It's not just go to a farmer's market, that you're getting like fresh farm to table or garden to table, boat to table. And then at the same time, artisan, you know, foods, but also art and crafts, but that there's a sense of community that it's like its own neighborhood in a way.
It is. It's huge. And it was set to be destroyed. I don't know, maybe 50 years ago. Anyway, when we were there, it was the 50th anniversary of the organization that was put together to make sure it wasn't destroyed. Okay. And it's such a vital part of that city. It was wonderful to see the celebration, and it needs to be there. It's really one of the first things you think of when you think of Seattle.
Did you take one of the tours?
Yes, we went on this tour called Eat Seattle, and you have a chef who walks you around, which was really good because it was very crowded that day. He walks you around to his favorite places or her favorite places. And so we went to 9 different places, and he went ahead of the line and got little samples for us at each spot and told us about each of the different restaurant owners and the history of them. So we got great cheese, macaroni and cheese too, and the best clam chowder you can find anywhere. Great pizza. It was wonderful.
See, did you gossip get wine? And food.
I know. Did you get wine?
We didn't get wine, but we went to a truffle shop. And in the afternoons, they have a happy hour, and you can buy their bottles that are open, like $5 or half. I can't remember. It's a very small amount of money. So that would be something to check out. It's called the Truffle Queen.
Now you did also the Space Needle. I mean, that's like, so you went to some of these. I mean, basically this whole trip is iconic. National Park, iconic lodges, boutique hotels, iconic Pike's Market. And then you've got the Space Needle. And then also you saw, there's a Chihui Glass, that Dale Chihui. That right?
Chihui Garden and Glass.
Nice. Yeah, that's magic.
I have seen his work before, but this was, you know, so much of it in one spot where you saw these huge, huge, maybe 4-foot tall flowers. You saw a big sea glass sculpture that had fish all around it and in brilliant colors. There was a place called, it was a Spanish ceiling that you walked through, and it was plates of different colors of glass. Fantastic.
Cool. We've seen some of his work at different botanical gardens that we've been to.
Yeah.
And arboretums, and I don't want to say, I think long, I don't want to, now I'm going to get it wrong. I think Frederick Meyer Gardens in Michigan in Grand Rapids, we saw it there too. But when you look at it, to me, it's like this elaborate adult candy. And I do, for some reason, I want to go up and like eat it.
It does. It looks like lollipop colors.
I know. It's like all of a sudden I'm licking the glass in the museum.
Yes.
It's a weird lady over there licking the glass.
Okay.
But it does look like it. Don't you kind of get hungry?
Oh, yeah. Or like the Christmas ribbon candy. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
It's so pretty. It doesn't taste that good, but sure is pretty.
It is about it. Just for some reason, it gets to those senses of being a kid and magic that you can do these amazing things. I mean, when you think about how glass is heated, that's huge. We interviewed an artist who worked there. And made glass there. Oh. And then she started actually whipping the glass onto massive pieces of canvas and creating this art out of the burn marks. But when you look at this young little lady doing this huge thing of the glass, and it's just, I mean, I think I would, they would need workman's comp like 10 times for me. I mean, I'd be in trouble just thinking about that hot, hot, hot glass and what they're creating. You know,
it's so beautiful. I love glass work anyway. So that was a treat. I have to say also going up in a Space Needle was a treat for me because I went up there when I was maybe junior high, when it, when the World's Fair, Seattle World's Fair took place because my grandmother lived there. So we went up there and, you know, obviously the structure is the same. It's a very skinny little thing that you go up in an elevator. And when you get to the top, I think that it always had a glass. It's the only glass rotating floor in the United States. So the entire floor is glass. It rotates 360 degrees. And then they put glass benches out at the edge so that you can sit on the bench. They slant slightly and you have a view of the city all the way around. So
but you've got glass all around you. So you're not open, right?
And then they have the history of how it was built in on panels as you walk around too.
Wow. I don't know. Like, ooh, I might get a little scared, but I would still do it.
Yes.
That's a challenge. That's the thing about travel. Yeah. You put yourself in these, you know, places like you've got to do it. I mean, if you don't do it, and then once you've done it, you're like, here's this place.
Everybody else
also this
do it.
Challenge that goes with it. You know what I mean? It's you come out with a double, you know, it's a double dipper. You got, but you went through something scary and you got to do it and witness and experiencing something, you know, iconic, like the Space Needle. Right. Everyone knows who, you know, where the Space Needle comes from, you know, but yeah, it's got an elevator. So that's important.
That is very important.
And if you don't take the opportunity to experience it and you leave without doing the things that really need to be done, to know a place, then it's a, you know,
you kick yourself later.
Kick yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't want any kicking.
No.
So do you want to go back? Is there anything you wanted that you missed that you want to do?
Well, go back to
Seattle or the Olympic.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to do that underground. Seattle.
That's right. The underground.
We had a lovely person at our hotel at the Sorrento who told us about Starbucks Reserve, which I guess there's only five in the world. We've all heard of Starbucks, but there's only five reserves in the world. And it was on at the foot of Capitol Hill, which was near our hotel. And you walk in, you can stand in line and get your coffee like a regular Starbucks, but they also have a bar where they make cocktails with coffee. And then they have a deli and pasta bar and a gift shop. And then you can go down below to the lower level and see where they roast the coffee. And that was interesting. I go back to see that again. It was just nice experience.
So that sounds good, but cocktails with coffee. That's
They had a taster of three different cocktails, which looked pretty amazing. We didn't do that because it was morning, but we would have. We took photos.
What's wrong with coffee in the morning?
It's winter. We got to have a little happy coffee.
Good point. Yeah. Well, then next time I go back, I'll do it. See?
I like that. That just sounds to me like it's neat to get something different. And that's the other thing about going and staying in boutique hotels. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that pretty much all the hotels I know give you good information, but it's nice when there's that personal recommendation that is something unexpected that we don't know about. It's like, here, have you tried this? You know, I think that's always
them about when Harry met Sally, because they were young. They had no clue of that movie. And it was filmed. Yeah. And some of it was filmed at Pike's Place Market. So, you know, we had to, we told them about that part, even though they helped us on the other. Wow. Also, the restaurant at the Hotel Stella is, and also at the Olympic Peninsula restaurants were all fantastic. We made it our goal that we were going to try all the Northwest foods that we could possibly find. We had we had mussels almost every single night. We had oysters. We had, of course, salmon. We had Marionberry pie, halibut. So the food there in the Northwest is so fresh and so, you know, at the lodges, the salmon and halibut was caught by Indigenous people and brought, sold to the lodges. Hmm. It's great.
Nice and fresh.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Nice and that's good. I mean, it's great that you're tasting what comes from the area.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, that's part of the sense of place, mm-hmm. you know, is to try something new and different. And
yeah.
Did you, it sounds good to me. I mean, coffee, mm-hmm. cocktails, cider, wine, you know, did you have like, did any of the vegetables become different? You know, because I was just thinking, you don't always hear about truffles in Southern California that are from the backyard, you know what I mean? That kind of thing.
Yeah. The truffles were wonderful. The owners, it's a mother daughter team, I believe. Hello.
Yes. We like that. Yes.
And, we got samples on Little Christini. They have, different truffle spreads and things. So, and we got to see the, you know, the real truffles in the jar, which was, who knows how expensive one of those little truffles are. They're a fortune.
I know. Truffles and saffron.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know,
That's,
those are some expensive things
and then
change everything.
Visually, just to walk in Pike's Market. Well, two things. First, you have to see the fishmongers and they put on a show because supposedly, well, what they do is one fishmonger throws a fish or salmon to another fishmonger, you know, maybe 10 feet away, and they throw it back and forth. And evidently the rumor is it started because one was irritated with the other in the past and threw a fish at him. And so then that guy that got caught the fish threw it back, and then the crowd started clapping. So now it's become part of a show that they do.
Oh, wow. How fun.
And then just the colors of walking around and seeing the vegetables all lined up, the reds, yellows, greens, and
that's
fruit.
Nice.
Yeah. Flowers everywhere too.
Oh, I like that.
Nice.
The Pacific Northwest is like such an amazing growing place. I mean, Salem, Oregon's known for iris, Portland roses, and you know, Washington State's got apples.
Yes. Right? Yes. You know, and dahlias
my favorite.
Everywhere in that climate. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful.
Oh man.
And visually it just, your eyes are just overwhelmed with all the color.
Nice.
I want to go. Mm-hmm. We haven't done Seattle yet, but we'll
be
in Washington State. So we're going to have to go. We're going to have to go this year.
Yep.
Yes.
And do Olympic, you know, Peninsula and all of that area. I'm so glad you got to experience it. Yeah. Sorrento. Stay at the Sorrento. Cool.
Okay.
I like that. I like staying at boutique places.
Yes.
Yeah. It's important to support them. So,
and the restaurant
cool.
was wonderful.
I want to give everyone the websites again for both regions. It is, you can follow Linda at toastingwinefoodtravel.com, but it's olympicpeninsula.org and visitseattle.org. But Linda, over at the IFTWA side of it, IFTWA has been doing some really amazing programming. It's something we've been talking about each of these shows, even during the pandemic when travel writers went, what do you mean? We can't, what are you talking about? We can't travel and go to a winery. And, you know, you guys all like work together, put up all these webinars. Are those kind of programs still going to be going on? Or are you seeing more and more press trips come together for writers and for the destinations?
We're going to have quite a few press trips next year. Mm-hmm. We're hoping that we get, you know, some at the beginning half of the year, because last year we only were able to do the last half of the year. We're hoping we get to do, you know, lots. I'm sure we'll have 5 or 6 press trips. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, we'll continue to do the webinars, which, you know, I've never been to Austin, for instance, and I got to visit Austin and I got to visit the Finger Lakes, different regions like that. When we do these Zoom webinars, you just learn so much about the area, and it's a great way. And I think it's, we're one of the few travel organizations that provides this kind of service, and they're really professionally done.
Nice. And also networking, did that help networking wise?
Yes. Oh yes, definitely. Yes. I built a relationship with the gentleman from the Finger Lakes. We have Paso Robles. We have a good relationship with just all over the country. It's wonderful.
Awesome. Awesome. Nice. Well, I'm glad you're out and about and everyone's starting to get out and about, and I hope it stays that way and everyone stays safe. You can travel, but you know, everyone's different. I shouldn't say that. Everyone's different. But if you do get out there, it is possible. Just have to be safe and wear masks when we have to. And I'm looking forward to that day where we do not have to wear a mask anymore.
I know.
I'm at this point, we'll do the best we can to not get sick and not spread sickness and, you know, just do what we can to stay out there and also support, like you're saying, the boutique hotels, the lodges, the parks, you know, support those, especially the mom and pop and independent businesses to really, that's what's so cool about the market too. Mike's Market is these are independent people with their businesses that don't have to go buy a huge, massive store. You know, they're able to have a venue, which I think is really cool. So very cool. Everyone, again, the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association, we do shows every second Tuesday, every second Friday with them. And you can keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. And if twas we say is ifwtwa.org. So thank you so much. It's been so much fun, Linda.
Great talking to both of you. That's it's fun. Always fun to do these webinars or these Zooms and webinars with you. Very fun.
Thank you. That's awesome.